Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are David Crosby, Remember My Name, Marianne and Leonard, Words of Love, and Sword of Trust. I just, over to you, CB.
Well, yeah, actually what we have this week are, it's summertime, the living is easy, the fish are swimming, the cotton is high, and the multiplexes are full of blockbusters. So as always, I do like to pay attention to some of the smaller pictures that are definitely out there in movie theaters and which are definitely worth attention. None of these are great movies, but, you know, they're all worth watching. And the first two are documentaries. We've had a lot of documentaries getting into theaters this season, which I'm always very happy about. And it's been a terrific year for pop music documentaries. My goodness, there have been so many. And we've got two of those today, one about David Crosby and one that deals with Leonard Cohen and his girlfriend and muse for quite a number of years. But we'll get to that one in a moment. David Crosby, Remember My Name is, of course, about, yes, you guessed it, David Crosby. He was, of course, an important solo rocker, but most famous for being a member first of the Byrds, but later on of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and then of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Recently, I talked about another, not pop music documentary, but another music documentary that's out right now, Pavarotti. And I was talking about how Pavarotti, Luciano Pavarotti, it's a very nice documentary, that film about him by Ron Howard. And you get to hear a lot of lovely music in it and all of that. But, you know, when it comes to drama, like Pavarotti sort of like around when he was sort of middle-aged, he had an affair and it busted up his marriage. So this is very sad for Pavarotti, kind of bittersweet for Pavarotti and all of that. But it doesn't make for very dramatic movie watching. When you want the dramatic stuff, when you want the big stuff that you go to the movies for, then you got to go to the world of pop music. And both David Crosby and Leonard Cohen in today's movies offer us some of that, because these guys were into the drugs and the sex and the rock and roll and the whole business. So this is where you get into the really scandalous stuff. David Crosby, Remember My Name, it kind of revolves around a long interview with David Crosby, a lot of it done when he's in a car going somewhere, and he's being filmed in the car, and he's talking and talking, and then, you know, at times he's other locations talking and talking, and he's remembering his life, and gosh, he had a really interesting life in a number of ways. It's the standard rock and roller superstar life, with, as I just said, a lot of sex and drugs and all of that stuff in there. And what's interesting here is that he did come out of it, and in fact, these days, as the movie makes very plain, he's been having something of a comeback after having come really near dying from all of the astonishing abuse that he heaped upon his body for years and years. He's been having a comeback, and he's been touring, and he's recording again and all of that stuff. So that's all very nice. But what's really interesting here are the reminiscences of his life. And what really makes this movie unusual is that David Crosby really burned a lot of bridges. And as he says near the end of the movie, it's years since almost any of the rockers that he worked with really, really closely, in some cases for decades, it's been years since they have even been willing to speak to him. A lot of them really despise him. And he really openly acknowledges that, and he talks about this, and he regrets it, and he knows that it's his fault. And that's what really makes this movie very, very interesting. Now, I'm making the whole thing sound more prurient and lascivious than it really is. David Crosby had a lot of accomplishment in his life, along with all of the sex and the drugs and all of that stuff. It's kind of standard human behavior that in the end he came around to where he is today, which is, you know, he's really happily married, and he has a really steadfast wife who obviously loves him enormously, and she knows how fragile his health is because of all that astonishing abuse that he heaped on his body for years and years, plus simply the travails of old age. He's way up in his 70s now, and he has diabetes and various other ailments. And, you know, she really expresses an enormous amount of concern and love for him. And again, that's all very nice. But what really makes this movie dramatic, I think, is the contrast between the scandalous rock and roller life that he lived for all of those years and his current life as now an old man, settled down and trying to keep going and trying to keep creating and being quite successful at that. And also, above all, his really painful acknowledgement and realization of how many bridges he has burned between himself and people who really meant a tremendous amount to him and who, as he acknowledges, really stuck by him during very different periods for a very long time during various phases of his life. So I found David Crosby, Remember My Name, a really engaging movie, and I really had a good time watching it. Very, very interesting. I will add, parenthetically, that I have never been particularly into David Crosby's music. I was not into that. I think the Byrds were always a kind of an overrated group. I never much liked Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I never much liked Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, although I have always liked Neil Young. So I don't say all this because I'm a big David Crosby admirer, but I really respect what he's accomplished. And again, I just, even though I'm not a big admirer of his, I just had a really interesting time watching this movie. It's one of the best pop music documentaries we've had in quite a while. Now for our next film, Marianne and Leonard, Words of Love. And yeah, you kind of gagged a little bit when you said that title. It is very sentimental. And here we have a movie by Nick Broomfield. David Crosby, Remember My Name, was directed by a filmmaker who has not done a whole lot of work, a guy named A.J. Eaton. Marianne and Leonard, Words of Love, was directed by quite a major documentary maker, Nick Broomfield, an English guy, and he's made a lot of documentaries over the years, and he often inserts himself into his documentaries, often sort of obnoxiously. In this case, he inserts himself into it, but not a whole lot. The movie really is about Leonard Cohen, and also about a woman named Marianne Island, who was his muse and his lover for many years. And Nick Broomfield works into the movie that she was also his lover for a while, many, many years ago. And the movie, as you can tell from the title, Marianne and Leonard, Words of Love, is about the relationship between Leonard Cohen and Marianne Island. But it's interesting that his relationship with Marianne Island was very, very sporadic. And even if you add up the whole relationship for all the different periods that went on in various phases, it didn't amount to a major part of his life. And it appears to me that Nick Broomfield, the director of the film, has made it not just a movie about Leonard Cohen, but a movie about Leonard Cohen and Marianne Island, simply because Nick Broomfield himself was involved with Marianne Island about 1,000 years ago and wanted to work that into the movie. But it really is, despite its title, a movie about Leonard Cohen. Now, there was a very good Leonard Cohen documentary quite a number of years ago called Leonard Cohen, I'm Your Man. And I think it was better than Marianne and Leonard because of the part that deals with Marianne Island, this movie is not so focused. And it kind of wanders around a little bit. But really, it is at heart pretty much a straightforward documentary about Leonard Cohen, who is a very, very interesting figure. And what we have here is, once again, a whole lot of sex and drugs, because Leonard Cohen, that was a big part of his life when he was younger. But one of the interesting things about Leonard Cohen, and this I knew already, and it's in the movie, it's not a major part of the movie, but it's an important part of the movie, is that unlike David Crosby, when he didn't get out of this simply because he broke his body and couldn't keep on any longer and had to settle down a bit. He got out of this because Leonard Cohen really has always been, I think, was. He has passed away since the making of this movie. I mean, he's passed away a number of years ago, not since the making of this movie. He really has always been a very introspective person, it appears. And he eventually became very, very interested in Buddhism and actually spent a number of years going frequently to a Buddhist temple and eventually entered a Buddhist monastery and was in there full-time for about 5 years, and that's a part of the movie. So that's a very interesting and unconventional aspect of Leonard Cohen's life, and it's interesting not only in itself, but because, as I said, he was, I think, a very introspective person who, once he got over those years of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll and so forth, really was trying to look within himself and to look beyond the kind of life that he had led and to look for something deeper and something greater, and he sought that through Buddhism, and he got into it in a really serious way, the opposite of a dilettante way, a really, really serious way, even though ultimately he came out of the monastery and resumed a somewhat normal life again, and like David Crosby, eventually had a kind of a comeback and was touring and singing and recording and so forth again, and doing the kind of marvelous songs that he did for so many years. So Marianne and Leonard is at times a pretty gloppy documentary, as the subtitle Words of Love suggests. But it's also just a very interesting documentary, not so much about that relationship, but about Leonard Cohen, who I think is always worth revisiting from time to time and taking a fresh look at. A very, very interesting artist. And our final film for today, Jill, is our only fiction film, and it is a movie called Sword of Trust, and it was directed and co-written by Lynn Shelton. Very interesting woman, female filmmaker, who has made movies in the past like Laggies and Hump Day, kind of came out of the mumblecore school, but Sword of Trust rises above that and is, I think, a very interesting movie. It's kind of silly at times, but it's really interesting. So here is the premise of Words of Love. The main characters are a couple, a lesbian couple, and one of them, her father dies, and her grandfather, I think it is, dies, and she inherits a sword, a Civil War sword, along with some documentation. Now, the documentation appears to be sort of loony. It appears that the old man, when he died, was no longer quite in his right mind, and he put together this little packet of documentation, and he wrote his own account of the sword, which really does not make any sense at all. But they're intrigued by this, and they think, well, hey, it is apparently an authentic Civil War sword. We can probably get some money out of this. So they go to a pawn shop, which is run by a guy named Mel, played, by the way, by Marc Maron, who did the music for the film and who is the other main character of the movie. And he runs this pawn shop, and he's familiar with this kind of thing, and he looks at it, and he looks at the documentation, and he says, this does not make any sense at all. No, it really doesn't. But he's interested in the sword, and he offers them a few $100 for it. And they say, no, we want more for it. We think it's worth more than that, and they walk away. However, and by the way, all this is the very beginning of this movie, so these are not spoilers. The owner of the pawn shop, Mel, has a young guy who works for him, an assistant named Nathaniel, who is a little bit more hip and who goes on the internet and finds out that there is a company which is willing to, not so much a company, an outfit, which is willing to buy material like this with documentation like this, because this outfit believes that, now get ready for this, that the South actually won the Civil War. And this is all being covered up by, you guessed it, the Deep State. It has been covered up since the 19th century by the Deep State, but it's really true. The South won the Civil War, and this outfit is willing to buy any sort of a relic which goes to prove their point. And they are willing to pay, in some cases, thousands of dollars for this stuff. So Mel, the pawn shop owner, immediately gets back in touch with the couple who now own this sword and offers them a lot of money. And they say, well, wait a minute. If you're offering us more money now, there must be somebody who's willing to buy it from you. And so they set up a partnership, and they decide that together, the four of them, the young couple, the pawn shop owner, his assistant, are going to sell this sword to this crazy outfit that believes the South won the Civil War. And that is what sets the whole movie into motion, and all sorts of surprises ensue, especially once they actually get in touch with this outfit. Now, if I were a Southerner, and I am not, actually, I live below the Mason-Dixon line. I live in Baltimore, Maryland these days.
So it counts.
I am not a Southerner. But if I were, I'm not sure I'd be happy about this movie, which takes place in the South and which pokes an awful lot of fun at Southerners, and especially at the kind of Southerners who don't like the term the Civil War. They prefer the term the War of Northern Aggression. But I am not a Southerner, and I actually found this movie to be very good-hearted, even though it pokes an awful lot of fun at an awful lot of people in the Deep South. We have here a movie which is, at times, it gets silly, at times it's a bit over the top, but most of the time, it's really, really sharp. It's good, fun, funny, comedy. The acting, most of the way through, is absolutely stunning by Maron, Michaela Watkins, Julian Bell, John Bass, a whole lot of other people. Really, really excellent, beautifully observed behavioral performance. Very subtle, very nuanced, but often very, very funny. And the story adds up to a certain kind of crazy sense. There are moments along the way that I didn't believe it, and there are times when I thought, oh, that wouldn't happen even in a silly premise like this. But I had a good time watching this movie, and ultimately I just came out thinking, what a likable, good-hearted movie this is. So if you want to see a little likable, amiable, kind of sweethearted movie this summer, go see Sword of Trust. I'm not steering you wrong. And that is my semi-fictional, semi-documentary story this week, Jill.
And we trust you. Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films David Crosby, Remember My Name, Marianne and Leonard, Words of Love, and Sword of Trust.